Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jonah ran from God's command to preach in Nineveh, but he could not outrun God, who appointed some persuaders to change Jonah's mind. A great fish, a plant, a worm, and today, a scorching east wind. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on making the best of a bad decision, Erwin Lutzer comes again to talk about what happens when you run from responsibility. Turn to Jonah chapter 4, where the prophet has just lost his shade.
And then not only that, Jonah was getting faint. And it says in verse 8, when the sun arose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. God says, I want you to get a taste of some bad weather. Nothing will bring out the human heart like bad weather. My wife and I live in a condo complex, and you can't just turn on the air conditioner until they tell you that it's on, and it takes a day or two to make the transition. And I remember one time it was so hot in April, all these nice, wonderful, loving people that you meet, were they steamed. You know, we appreciate the plant, and we appreciate that. But now, you know, like that. And so Jonah was really. Notice this. You should underline the word appoint. It appears four times in the book of Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 17, the Lord appoints a fish. Here, the Lord appoints a plant, and the Lord appoints a worm, and the Lord appoints a scorching east wind. God appoints our comforts. He appoints our discouragements, and he appoints our trials. A plant to shade him, a worm to bug him, and God also appointed a scorching east wind to exasperate him. Why? God says, I'm holding up a mirror, Jonah, so that you can see what this is all about. Now, notice. And God comes to him then, and now he's willing to stay a little longer for the session. By the way, people think, you know, all that you need to do is to take somebody who needs to be fixed and get them to the right counselor, and they'll fix them. Well, the counselor here is God. And he doesn't seem to be helping Jonah very much at all. He says again, it's better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, verse 9 now, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. Wow, that's quite a prophet. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came up into being in a night and perished in a night. Shouldn't I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the right hand from their left, and also much cattle? It's a reference to the children, the young ones who don't know their right hand from their left. Jonah, all that you can see is your air conditioner and your plant. And having the right environment means more to you than 120,000 children who would perish without a knowledge of God unless you told them about Jehovah. That's your heart, Jonah. And the book ends. We have no idea as to whether or not Jonah ever got the point, or if he did, whether he responded to it. You talk about the human heart being hard. It's possible that our creature comforts can mean more to us than the children of Chicago. And when we hear Danita and Sarah stand up and say that we need tutors for Cabrini Green, there should be a very, very good reason that God accepts as to why some of us say no. Because it is possible for just the same creature comforts to mean more to us than children who need tutors and who need friends and who need help. This is a picture of the human heart. Three life-changing lessons for us. When we run, our disobedience has wider consequences. When we run from God, our disobedience has wider consequences. The Bible says that Jonah went to Tarshish, and he went to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, and paid the fare thereof. Cost you to run from God. But he's not the only one who paid. The sailors paid. They threw their cargo overboard. That was their livelihood. They had no insurance in those days to recoup the loss. The people in Nineveh, they paid. They had to wait a certain number of days and weeks and maybe months before they got the message that should have arrived earlier. And there's no doubt that many of them died, and they would have been alive if Jonah had gone when God told him to. You, person today to whom I speak, there are some of you, and you know exactly that I'm speaking to you. That's a good way to say it. You are backslidden. You know God, but you've drifted away. And you say to yourself, I can live my life the way in which I want to. I can do my own thing. And what you don't realize is you affect all the people around you negatively, and the positive effect that you're to have in your families and in your ministries is all gone. You just don't sin alone. You're influencing others. Can't be any other way. No man lives unto himself. No man dies unto himself. The meter is always running when we disobey. We always pay, and we pay a whole lot more than we think we're going to. Second, we need to take responsibility. Follow this carefully. We need to take responsibility for disobedience before we can expect God to take care of getting us back on track. We need to take responsibility. Jonah had to see himself, and he saw himself only partially because he ends up still being rebellious. If you ask me the question, what is the most common cause of divorce, of the rupture of human relationships, of all these other things, I would simply say this. It is because we as human beings do not want to own our own stuff, if I may use that expression. We simply refuse to respond to the mirrors that God has put in our path. And as a result of that, you can hear sermons, you can sing songs, you can have role models, you can do the whole thing and still be a Jonah. Because we don't want to do serious business in God's presence in repentance and faith. I think of how many marriages perhaps could be saved if husband and wife were to sit down together and say, you know what, I'm going to own my stuff. Are you going to be able to own your stuff? Instead of blaming others, instead of making excuses. We all own our stuff in God's presence and in the presence of other people. That's a process. It's a process in my life. Sometimes a painful process to own our disobedience and to call it by the right name. God is calling you back today. Wouldn't it be very understandable, as I said, Jonah hears the will of God very clearly, and God goes through all of this to get the prophet back in God's will, because nobody wants you back in fellowship more than God. And he set up all these things in your life, and you don't pick up on them. In some cases, dragging you from briar patch to briar patch to say, don't you hear me? What is it going to take for you to see yourself? It's the final lesson, and that is that Some opportunities are lost forever. Some opportunities are lost forever. Jesus, in the 12th chapter of Matthew, said, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said this to people who wanted a sign. And then he said, the men of Nineveh shall rise up and judge this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Wow. The men and women of Sodom will rise up because a greater is here. You think of the opportunities we have that the people in Nineveh didn't have. They didn't even have a good message. It was just judgment. Repent or else you're going to be overthrown. Or he didn't even say repent or else. He just said, you know, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. I mean, what a boring message to repeat over and over again. They didn't have choirs and hymns and radio and Bibles and all these things. And the men of that generation shall rise up and judge this generation because God is here. Because God is here. And God is saying to some of you, isn't it time, two categories of people that I'm speaking to, some of you, isn't it time that you opened your life to what Jesus did on the cross and believe on him? Because he is much greater than Jonah and was obedient where Jonah failed. And then to the rest of you, yeah, you know Jesus, but fellowship is so far off, so far off. And God is saying, I'm pursuing you. I want to catch you. I want you to be back where you belong in fellowship with me. Are you willing to say today, Lord, I've been running and I'm coming home? Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I don't know how to make it more clear than that. If you have been running from God, it's time to come home. And just know that when you do, God will be there for you. The imagery, of course, is of the prodigal son who went away from home. And then when he returned, his father saw him when he was yet a great way off. That could not have happened unless his father was waiting for him and looking for him. You know, God really does want the very best for us. If only we could believe it and submit to it. Well, thanks for joining us today on Running to Win. In a moment, you'll be given some information as to how these messages can be yours. They are part of a larger series entitled Making the Best of a Bad Decision.
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded, When You Run from Responsibility, the fifth of seven messages in a series on making the best of a bad decision. Ever mess things up so badly you can't see a way out? Next time, learn what happens when you're in a tangled web. Making the Best of a Bad Decision can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.